will tape CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2018 Summer Family Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday afternoon, July the 6th, 2018, Randy Ritchie is the speaker of this service, teaching on Return of the Days of Noah.
So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for your good hand upon our lives. We thank you for your mercy and your kindness, and your mercies are renewed every morning. We call on your tender mercies. We thank you, Lord, you don't even reward us according to our iniquities, but your tender mercies. Lord, you daily load us with benefits. You heal all of our disease. There is no God like you. You're the first and the last and the Alpha and the Omega and the beginning and the end. And you are a great and mighty in battle.
Yes, you are.
And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're the Spirit of truth. And we thank you that you would lead us into all truth. Lord, you haven't left us orphans, but you gave us the Holy Spirit. So I thank you, Lord, that this body will have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord would say unto them. That, Lord, we would have our spiritual eye open to see what you, Holy Spirit, would show in the name of Jesus. We loose confusion into the enemy camp, civil war into the enemy camp. Let the enemy turn on himself in the name of Jesus. Let God arise and the enemy be scattered in the name of Jesus. And you are Yahweh and you are a man of war. You are the great I am. And Lord, we honor you. We give you all the glory for everything you've already done and everything you're going to do. We do bind the strong man assigned against us all here in Jesus' name. Repenting, Lord, wherever needed. But we're coming through the blood of the Lamb, boldly approaching your throne of grace, thanking you that, Lord, you are an ever-present help in time of need. And Lord, your name, Jesus, is the strong tower that the righteous run into and are saved.
Yes.
We give you all the glory. I ask you for help here, Lord, to teach your people. And I thank you, Father, for the anointing that destroys yokes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Jesus, Matthew 24, Luke 17. The Bible tells us that a thing is established by two or three witnesses. So you can't build anything off the Word of God on one Scripture. Okay? If the Lord wants to tell you something, He'll tell you 2, 3, or 100 times. But 2 or 3 establishes. In this discourse, the Lord was, His disciples had asked Him, what's going to happen? What's it going to be like when you return? Matthew 24:37 says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also be the coming, also the coming of the Son of Man be. 38, for as in those days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. Repeated, Luke 17:26, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until that day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. So, listen, he said when he comes back. So that means up until the day that he comes back, even though hell's going to visit earth before, you understand?
Yes.
There's a restrainer going to be lifted. Nobody truly knows what the restrainer is. Everybody guesses. Nobody knows. It could be one little angel just slapping those demons all over. I mean, we don't. Okay? But whatever, the Lord's holding it back. And if He doesn't, in the day that He doesn't, hell is coming to earth. And if you've been to wicked places, I recall in San Francisco, going there, it's probably been 15 years. And San Francisco itself is a mess, you know, the homosexuality and all the New Age mess. But there's another place there called Chinatown that is a big, big Chinese community. But there's a red line when you cross over into Chinatown. And when you cross it, you can literally feel the difference in that place. You know why? Who do they? The Chinese, what's their symbol? It's the dragon, okay? And throughout Chinatown are groups called the Triads. The Triads are the mafia of the Chinese. They're Asian mafia. Well, they know full well they're worse than the dragon. So that territory has been given over, and the moment you walk into that, you can literally feel it. I did many, many years ago when I was first born again. And you know, I didn't have the discernment, or let's say the experience. The Holy Spirit gives you discernment. But, you know, you learn to walk with the Lord to discern things. Holy Ghost is the same whether you're a baby Christian or whether you're fully working and becoming mature in the Lord. Not that we're all done until the end, okay? But we can grow in Him and learn to grow with the Holy Spirit and discern things. So that's the place. I recall one time when I was a young man in the Lord. Not a young man, because I was 40 when I got saved. Younger than some, but older than some. Amen. So I remember just a year or so after I got saved, and the Lord had given me this beautiful reprieve from a whole lot of temptations. And I was at a particular ministry, and the woman there that was ministering made the statement. She said, God gives people a lot of reprieve sometime when they first get saved. And then, but you're going to get tempted. And the minute she said that, I knew. I just knew. Well, I had to leave that ministry and go off into Louisiana. Well, as soon as I crossed that bridge, listen, Louisiana is a different world. Listen to me. It is a Catholic state. It's heavily Catholic. It's got, I'm not saying it's any more wicked than any, but it's different. It's a different place because it's heavily Catholic. And then you've got all that voodoo working throughout the South and all that. There is a different dynamic there than there is in the other states of the Union. And so as I cross that bridge immediately, I feel it, and I'm driving down the road, and I pass the horse track, and this spirit tells me, you could go over there, nobody would know. Nobody know. You're over here. And over here, I pass the topless bar, why don't you go in there? Nobody would know. Why don't you just get you a beer? So I'm finally, you know, and Lord, this is the first time here's this enemy whacking me with all this mess. When I first got born again, I had some. I made $80,000 a year and owed about $110,000. And so the pressure was on how to pay the bills and all that. And in that, the Lord taught me to take Scripture and fight the enemy, such as my daddy owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. So the Lord shall supply all of my needs according to His riches and His glory. I thank You in Christ, Lord. I thank You, Father. I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Yes. He who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. And I have those Scriptures. And I read in Galatians 4:4, it says that we're joint heirs with Jesus. And I realized God was going to take care of me. So we got through that battle and I learned. But then as I go in that trip, man, that oppression was just on me. And I could feel the fight. And when I got to the hotel room, I'm having to do a business trip. I've got to go take a state licensing exam the next day. But I'm going, Lord, I've got to find something. Church, somewhere. This on Friday. I'm looking everywhere. Can't find anything. And the TV comes. I turn the TV on, and it's this scratchy old-timey church service with some music going on. And I felt the strength of God come into me. But the whole point of all that is when hell comes to earth, it's going to be unlike anything anybody has ever seen. Post-flood. Post-flood. Because hell was on earth pre-flood. And when I'm saying hell, I'm talking about supernatural forces of darkness. Okay? So, and by the way, it's pretty interesting. I mean, we need to pray. I thank God in the name of Jesus that our election didn't go the other way. I'm a Christian. I could give a hoot about either party, but I'm for morality. I'm for what God says is moral, period. And God will take care of the rest if we'll go there, okay? But we would probably be in a war. They would probably take the guns already. And listen to me. these folks ain't going to give their guns up. North, south, east, and west, there's people, you're not going to take their guns. So the day that that begins to happen, it's going to be a civil war and a bloodbath. No matter how you feel about guns, this is a fact. You know, I'm not saying right or wrong. I'm telling you that's the way it is. And so, but the powers that the elite of this world don't care. All they want is out of chaos to bring in a new world order. So however we can be destroyed, because they want control, that day is at hand. But listen, a little while back, President of the United States went to Korea and made peace, it looks like. Who in this group would have ever believed that we would say that? Now, listen, he also went, when he first got elected to office, and he met with the Jews, and he met with the Egyptian, and the Saudi Arabian king, and the Catholic Church. They're paving the way for the temple to be built in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Now, the Word of God, now listen to me. So we want to thank God for every ground that we get in the reprieve of time in order to win souls. We're not going to stop the book.
No.
We're not going to stop what is written, but what we're doing is fighting the enemy in the meantime for the sake of those that don't know Jesus. Now listen, the Word of God says when they say peace and safety, look out, sudden destruction. So we need to keep our eyes on the Lord. We're here getting delivered. We're getting cleansed. So we can hear from the Lord what we're to do as we move forward. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So, if we had a subtitle, it would be Alien Scientists and DNA, Altering the Image of God in Man. Ecclesiastes 1:9 says, the thing that has been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. There is no new thing under the sun. Nothing. Everything's going on as happened before. In the beginning, Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Everybody say, I have dominion,
I have dominion
over creeps.
Over creeps.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I think that's good news. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Genesis 1:28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over everything that living thing that moves upon the earth. Thank you, Father. You need to understand dominion. Because I'm going to tell you something. God doesn't control everything on this earth. He doesn't do it. He could, but He doesn't. He gave man control of the earth. Operational control of the earth. He still owns it. But it's as if He said, here, here's a plan. Here's the keys. You run it. If I gave you the keys to a house, and I said, this is your house. Do with it as you please. And then before you could get home and get the key in the door, I was sitting in your chair flicking your remote. That wouldn't be right, would it? Well, God's not a liar. So listen, everything He says is going to happen, He's going to cause to happen, because when He wants something to happen, He moves on His saints. Some of them are praying in tongues and they don't even know what they're saying. And God's saying, okay, but He spoke through us and we released Him to do something here on the earth. Okay? But sometimes He moves on a saint to speak something in the natural for Him to move. Because He won't violate His agreement that He made, because He's not a man that He should lie, or the son of man He should repent. So if you've ever wondered, or you have anybody say, how could a loving God allow this to happen to babies? Well, the answer is, He gave the earth to man. Dominion, power and authority. Our ancestors, we all share two, Adam and Eve, all of us. Our ancestors failed, and they opened the door, and they invited the devil into this world. Okay? So, when you look at why bad things happen to good people, That's why. We're in a fight to the death with a brutal enemy, and thank God we have a champion, and his name is Jesus. Amen?
Hallelujah.
All right. So something happened. You see, God made Adam and Eve, and he said, it's good. It's good. It's very good. Made all the things he did, recreated all sorts of things God did. And he made them, and he said, this is very good. He liked what he'd done. He made some in his image. But then something happened. Genesis 6:1, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Something had happened. So what? Sons of God. This term. Many people debated whether the sons of God refer to angels or men. There was a group called the Sethite view. And then there's what I'm about to tell you. The Hebrew word for sons of God is B'nai Ha Elohim, which would mean these are heavenly beings, giving credence to them being fallen angels. Then we see the children of these sons of God and daughters were men. They were mighty men of renown. They were also giants. Something in their genetics made them supersized people. I present to you as their fallen angel parentage. A very simple observation is that when you breed a horse and a donkey, you get a mule. No longer a horse, no longer a donkey. Humans with humans create humans. Almost all have heard of David and Goliath. Let's look at another key use of B'nai Elohim. The Bible self-confirming in one passage of Scripture can always be confirmed with another. Here is the term, sons of God, next used in the book of Job. Job 2:1 states, again there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present himself unto the Lord, before the Lord. The Hebrew term here once again is B'nai Ha Elohim. As we know, these sons of God here, they are clearly angelic beings who are presenting themselves before the Lord in heaven. Wasn't men. It was angels. God has a council. That'll teach another time, but God has a council. He's got a court. Satan was among them. Satan being a fallen being, a cherubim. I believe it's evident that what this Hebrew term means. The implication here is that fallen angels married human women and produced children with them. And this act was so abhorrent to the Lord that he punished them, first with the flood and then with imprisonment. So when I go back, the other view that people had about this, because nobody wants to, or very few want to even try to grasp that that could happen. Because you'll hear it said that Jesus said the angels don't marry in heaven. Well, this wasn't in heaven. This was angels, and you'll see that the Word of God says they left their first estate. But the other view was called the Sethite view, and the Sethite view was that it was Cain's nasty daughters that married Seth's righteous sons, and that created giants. How many know that good men and bad women don't produce giants? And bad women and bad men and good women don't produce giants. They produce problems, okay, that Jesus can fix. But it's not genetically possible for that to happen to produce giants. Something had to happen. Something new was on the earth. God did not pronounce it good. Here are a few different translations. Genesis 6, 1 and 2. In the CEB, Contemporary English Bible, it says, the divine beings saw how beautiful these women were, these human women, and so married the ones they chose. Divine beings is the word. CEB, Contemporary English Version. Some of their daughters were so beautiful that supernatural beings came down and married the ones they wanted. GNB, Good News Bible. When the human race had spread all over the world and daughters were being born, some of the heavenly beings saw that these young women were beautiful, so they took the ones that they liked. King James, There were giants in the earth in those days, Genesis 6:4. So what did Jesus tell us? He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty, gabors, men which were of old, men of renown. And that word renown actually is shame. It means shame. We got the translation as renown, but it means shame. Men of shame. In those days, another version, giants lived on the earth. And also afterward, now that afterward's a key point, when divine beings and human daughters had sexual relations and gave birth to children. These were the ancient heroes, famous men. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterward. Now there's mixed opinions about the word Nephilim, and because it does mean the fallen ones. So many, and probably most people, believe the Nephilim's referring to the offspring, the giant. But there's a number of credible people that believe Nephilim is actually the fallen angels. Either way, something terrible happened. So the Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward when the sons of God came to the daughters of men and they bore children to them. These were mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Another version, Young's literal, the fallen ones were in the earth in those days, and even afterwards when the sons of God came to the daughters of men and they have born to them, they're the heroes who are from old, the men of name. So shortly after, we don't know the exact time frame, but God had pronounced everything very good. And now, he says, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man who I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the earth, for it repents me that I have made them. Everybody say, thank God.
Thank God.
Noah found grace.
Noah found grace.
These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Now, Noah was chosen to carry on and restart humanity after the flood because he was a believer in God. But, additionally, and listen, without this, couldn't have happened. He was perfect in his generations, which seems to imply that his genetic bloodline and his ancestry was 100% human. This word generations is the word tamayim. Noah had not been part of the Nephilim hybridization that was plaguing humanity. The Hebrew word for perfect in that verse is tamayim. It means complete, whole, with reference to health and your physical condition. This is not a spiritual word. How many know there's only been one perfect man?
Yes.
That is Jesus. So Noah wasn't. Listen, the dude got drunk about as soon as he got off the boat. Huh? Thank God for Noah, but he wasn't perfect. It's the same word used to describe the condition of animal sacrifices to the Lord. Do you know that they had to have an unblemished lamb, an unblemished cow, an unblemished goat to take into the temple? It couldn't be something that was blemished. Whosoever offers a sacrifice peace offerings unto the Lord to accomplish his vow, or a free will offering in beeves or sheep, it shall be perfect. Tamayim, to be accepted, there shall be no blemish therein. Now, so the word afterwards, Deuteronomy 2:20. It was also accounted a land of giants. Giants dwelt there in the old time, and Ammonites called them Zanzimos. I'm going to show you scriptures, by all means, not all of them. There were anybody in a group this size, probably that you've had those questions or you've run into them. And you run into people that think that the Old Testament God, our God in the Old Testament, was different than he is now. Well, he's not. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He never changes. He says, I'm the Lord, I don't change. He's always been full of love and full of grace. But you would look and you would see, and he would tell Israel, destroy every man, every woman, every child, and every animal in given tribes. And you think, well, that doesn't seem like him now. He was always merciful. But when you come to the understanding of this, you're going to understand that they were mixed blood tribes. They were not human. They were hybrids, and they had to be destroyed. They weren't even supposed to be alive. And that whole thing about the flood, if you go back and you look, and I'm going to show you from architecture and other things the extent of how great this civilization was pre-flood that was unholy. All right? But if you look, and many, many people, including myself, believe that most of the world was tainted already. And that, listen, if God hadn't put Noah and them on the boat, it was going to be the end of man. The end of man. Deuteronomy 2:20. Talks about Zamzumites. The promised land was full of giants. Numbers 13:33, and we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Anak literally means long-necked ones. Well, who knows how long their necks were. Deuteronomy 3:13, and the rest of Gilead and all Bashan, being the kingdom of Og, gave I unto them the half tribe of Manasseh and all the region of Argob, with all Bashan, which was called the land of the giants. Joshua 17:15. Joshua answered them, if thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country and cut down for thyself in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. Deuteronomy 2:11, which also were counted giants as the Anakims, but the Moabites called them Emims. Joshua 15:8, and the border went up to the valley of the son of Hinnom under the south side of the Jebusite, the same as Jerusalem, and the border went up to the top of the mountain that lies before the valley of Hinnom westward, which is at the end of the valley of the giants northwards. Joshua 13:12, and all the kingdom of Og and Bashan, which reigned in Asheroth and in the Edrei, who remained of the remnant of the giants, for these did Moses smite and cast them out. 1 Samuel 17:4, and there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. 2 Samuel 21:19. See, we've all, most everybody's heard of David and Goliath. And many understood that Goliath had some brothers too. But this land was completely full of giants. You know, the first incursion, I want to explain to you, was to stop the Messiah from coming. The first time they did this, because if Adam, listen, needed a Savior, it was going to take somebody like Adam, but different, to save him. And the Lord told the servant, he said, the seed of the woman is going to crush your head. And he said, the seed of the serpent is going to bruise the heel of the seed of the woman. He had prophesied the Messiah to come. The devil knew full well this was an attempt of the enemy to taint the bloodline, to prevent the Messiah from coming. Because listen, Jesus came, and one day this whole earth is going to get burned up and cleansed because of what he did, not just us and our salvation. But so the enemy was trying to stop the Messiah from coming. So it's not a surprise that when he was going to be born one day out of the lineage of people through Abraham, then it was going to be in a certain piece of land. It's not a surprise that that land was completely full of these beings, is it? Okay? King of Bashan. King Og, his bed was something like 13 foot long. Or 18 foot long, 12 foot wide. I may have that here in a minute. 2 Samuel 21:19. There was again a battle in Gob with the Philistines, where Elhanan, the son of Jerahmeel, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath the Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. And there was yet a battle in Gath, where a man of great stature, that on every hand had 6 fingers, and on every foot 6 toes, 24 in numbers. He was also born to the giant. Amos 2:9. Yet it was I who destroyed the Amorite before them, whose height was like the height of cedars, and who was as strong as the oaks. The cedars of the Middle East are huge trees. different from the small cedars we have here. Cedars from Lebanon were used to construct the temple in Jerusalem. Let's look at a picture or two for perspective. So, according to the Word of God, the giants were as tall as these trees. The average tree today of these cedars, Lebanon, what was in Israel, 24 to 36 feet tall. And I want to go back. Look at this. So here's the Word of God right there. Yet it was I who destroyed the Amorite before them, whose height was like the height of cedars, and who was as strong as the oak. Some of them went over 100 feet. That's what we have now. So you can figure, you had virgin timber back in the day. And they had a whole lot of trees, a whole lot of, but our average height today there is 24 to 36 feet. Time, along with the exploitation of cedar's wood, has led to the decrease in the number of cedar trees. However, Lebanon is still known for its cedars, and they're the emblem of the country and the symbol of the Lebanese flag. Nevertheless, the trees survive in mountainous areas. They are dominant tree species. This is the case of the slopes of Mount Machmel that tower over the Kadesh Valley, where the cedars of God are found at an altitude of more than 2,000 meters. It's 6,600 feet. Four trees have reached a height of 35 meters. It's 115 feet, and their trunks are 39 to 46 feet around. So to give you a perspective of what that looks like. So, right there is a 6-foot man. The next one would be Og of Bashan. This is Goliath, actually. That's Og. That would be 24. That would be 30. That would be 36. Is it any wonder that they look like grasshoppers? We were as grasshoppers in their sight and in our own. There are extra canonical books called Enoch and Jasher that talk about the fallen transgression. I want to tell you that I would call them extra canonical, biblically approved books. Okay? So we're not saying that they're the canon, our existing scripture. Some believe that. Enoch is actually still in the Ethiopian canon. But just set it aside and call it a history book. But they're quoted in the Bible, both Enoch and Jasher. And Josephus, the Jewish historian, he tells you about the giants. But Enoch and Jasher, not only did they explain about the giants, and how that happened, but Enoch gives you a description of beings called watchers that were the fallen angels, that there was 200 made an agreement. Okay? In order to do what they did with the women. And they bound each other to themselves and they swore that they would all do this thing. Okay? Now, in those history books tell us that it was done on Mount Hermon. Okay? An interesting thing about Mount Hermon is that, H-E-R-M-O-N, is that that is where Jesus was transfigured. So he was up on that mountain. And he came in his glory. And that's where Peter and John said, well, Lord, let's build a temple here. Let's build this to you. And then Elijah was there and Moses. And it was like Jesus was saying, you tried to stop me, but here I am. And you didn't stop me. And at the foot of Mount Hermon is a thing called Pan's Grotto. And Pan's Grotto is a place that they believed went into the underworld, down into hell. And when Jesus was standing and he says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against those that are the called out ones, the Ecclesiastes of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gates of hell, he was pointing to that site right there. So there's more to it than what you just read. He was geographically establishing what he had come to do. They also, both of those books tell you about animal mixtures. So in the book of Enoch, it says they took wives unto themselves, and everyone respectively chose one woman for himself, and they began to go unto them. They taught them magical medicine. They taught them magical medicine. They taught them incantations, the witchcraft. They taught them the cutting of roots, the witchcraft. They taught them about plants. The women became pregnant and gave birth to great giants whose heights were 300 cubits. Now, a cubit's about 18 inches. So if you can imagine, this is pre-flood. So I'm going to present to you, and I believe I've got more on this later, but when you look at Greek and Roman mythology and the legends, now they're not biblically accurate. Because after Babel, after the flood, they had that information, but that went all over the world in the different cultures, changed things up a little bit, here and there, the names and the stories. But listen, when you see about Greek titans, these were huge. The Roman, these gods that they talked about, that was the pre-flood worship of these fallen angels and their offspring. So here it says there were 300 cubits. Like I said, each cubit is approximately 18 inches. So you had some beings that were incredible. These giants consumed the produce of all the people until the people detested feeding them. So the giants turned against the people in order to eat them. They began to sin against birds, wild beasts, reptiles, and fish, and their flesh was devoured the one by the other, and they drank blood. Everywhere were these giants, and you're going to see the giant crops are all over the earth. Everywhere. You'll see it. I'll show you in a minute. But everywhere they were was cannibalism. Everywhere they were was human sacrifice. All over the world. All over this nation. How about the physical evidence today? Let's look at archaeology. Let me say this. There is evidence of things all over the world that we can't build today. Can't touch. I'm about to show you something. Can't touch it. But it's here. The world's explanation is aliens. And we'll go into that. That's not what it is. Fallen angels took the daughters of men for wives, and they created supernatural beings. They also mixed with animals. And they mixed humans and animals. So, how about a head like that? These were the Egyptians. They're pharaohs and such. These were not normal Egyptians. This was always their ruling class. Okay? But you find these things all over the world in different places. Now, there are tribes that bound their children's heads. Now, where would you do? I mean, you had to have an idea somewhere. I mean, you just didn't wake up one day and say, I think we'll just bind this kid's head. It'll look cool sticking out that far. That ain't the way it worked. They had something they were trying to emulate. But not only that, every one of these skulls has a volume that's way bigger than humans. And if you took a head and you bound a child's head, you're not increasing the volume and the size of the head. You're just changing the shape of it. And not only that, but the skull marks are different, the way the skulls are put together. So there's Peru. Okay? There's Russia. Another Russia. So, I told you about animals and humans. Some cave guy didn't wake up and say, okay, I think we'll draw this out today. All right? Anybody ever heard of the pyramids? Has anybody ever walked through sand? You ever walked through sand? Ever? Are you going to drag 55,000-pound rocks through sand? No way. So, this god here, this one is called Osiris. He's the god of the underworld. Okay? Now, at the end of this, we're going to pray and break the power of Masonic prayers. Okay? Because, and I hinted about that last night, but every Freemasonry on the surface doesn't say any of this, but if you go and you dig and you come to find out what they're really talking about, it's going back to everything I'm showing you and what they're looking forward to. Okay? So, that creature right there is called Horus. It's a mixture between a human and it's got a falcon head. So let's look at other cultures. Back. Assyrian. See the goat man? Okay? Hindu. Look at that creature. A lion with some kind of impala looking creature. An antelope stuck on its back looking backwards. Here's Assyria. See the bull? And the human head. Zeus created Hercules through a woman. But there's a being called a Minotaur as well. Now this is Assyrian, so this was, I told you the stories, it went down the line and names changed. But Zeus had he had a cow for a mating partner and created a beast called the Minotaur. Anybody ever heard of a labyrinth?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, a labyrinth is the home of the Minotaur. It's what the Minotaur lived in. You got churches.
Yeah.
You see, it's either certain churches, mainline denominational churches, okay, that still wear robes, and they call their pastors priests. But they have labyrinths throughout the places, throughout the country. And they have a thing called prayer called contemplative prayer, which you go in there and you blank your mind, you're going to receive demons when you do. Contemplative prayer is not from God. You're supposed to dwell on His Word and Him. You're never supposed to blank your mind. And so these labyrinths, I went into a ministry one time, we were in a camp, and I walked in, and this camp was one of those places and that owned it. And I walked into camp, and in this chapel was a picture of a labyrinth. And I looked at that, and I didn't know what it was, but I knew it wasn't of God. I knew it immediately. And I said, what in the world is that? And I looked at that labyrinth, and so it caused me to go look it up. And I found out it was the Minotaur's place. And then I found out what they're doing in it. And then I found out that the two kinds of places are those mainline churches that don't have any understanding and New Age camps all over the country. So that's a bonus for somebody. Don't go walking around a labyrinth if you're there buying the demons. Okay. Hindu gods again. I don't know if you can see that, but that's one of their gods. There are three main gods in the Hindus: Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. And then they got thousands, if not millions, that come out of that unholy trinity. Okay, and this is one. It's an elephant that's got a human body, but an elephant head. All right. So, how about this guy from the Aztecs? So it's semi-human shape. And mixed with a bird. There's a Mayan, so it's got a human-type shape in the middle that's mixed with serpents. Grand Canyon. By the way, many caves in the Grand Canyon had all sorts of stuff like this, and when they sealed them off, so you can't get to them anymore. Because your government and the Catholic Church and the powers that be do not want people having this understanding, because listen, the Bible tells you what happened. It doesn't fit with evolution. It doesn't fit with evolution. I'll explain to you why they've shoved evolution down our throats here in a minute. But it doesn't fit the pattern. So all throughout our history, there have been times, newspaper articles, bones have been found, giants have been found, and the people from the Smithsonian Institution here show up and the bones disappear. And throughout the rest of the world, the Catholic Church shows up and the bones disappear. And people are told not to talk. So here's creatures. Look at that. Standing up, upright, is some kind of centipede-like creature. Here's a mixture of some kind of cat. All right? Look at this guy right here. See this? That is a portal. That's what you'd call a wormhole. We would call that an opening in the veil. Okay, there is a veil. I spoke last night about hallucinations, and see when you're seeing into the spirit realm, what the world calls hallucination is, it means really the veil is opened up. You're seeing something you shouldn't be seeing unless God is showing you. But ritual and drug use will open these things up. But right there, Utah, Colorado, and the Grand Canyon. There's a place called the Trilithon at Baalbek. There are three stones used in the temple base. They measure 290 feet long and 160 feet wide. They weigh an astonishing 750 to 800 tons each. Nearby in a quarry sits an unused stone that weighs 1,200 tons. That's the weight of three passenger airplanes. How did these ancient masons, maybe Roman, but speculated much older? It's older. Cut, transport, and lift these massive stones on top of other stones weighing 350 tons each. There's a stone. We don't have a crane to do it today. We don't. That technology was greater than what we have. Here's something called the Nazca Lines, or I'll show you the Nazca Lines. I'm going to move that. real story behind the Nazca lines in Peru isn't the big shapes of monkeys and hummingbirds that get the tourists excited. Their purpose can't be explained readily, but we know how these were made. You figure out a shape and dig until you get to the different colored rock. What's really interesting are the straight lines crisscrossing the plains. They stretch up to 15 miles in some cases, but remain perfectly straight the entire way across, and you can only know the shapes from the air. Here's a place called Sacsayhuaman. Again, in Peru, this massive fortress displays the knowledge of stonework that modern man is simply unable to duplicate. These walls of stones are cut and stacked in ways that boggle the mind, fitting together so precisely that even today the seams are so tight that a piece of paper or a razor blade cannot fit between. All stacked without any mortar, held in place through sheer engineering, the stones weigh up to 360 tons, yet were carried from over 22 miles away using what? We don't know. We don't know what carried these stones that far. We don't know what could lift them up in the air and on top of the other massive stones. We don't know how they were cut in irregular puzzle shapes and then stacked together in such perfect precision. Listen, the Incas readily admit they didn't build these places. They came upon them. And then let me show you something. See all these stones? That's the original pre-flood stones. Those would be another term for that kind of architecture, Cyclopean architecture. This was built by the giants and their offspring. This up top was what the Incas did. And look at some of these stones in the angles. From all evidence, somehow this would became liquid and then rehardened in some kind of concrete. We don't even have a way to do it today. They're hard stones. But to make these angles and these cuts, it's incredible. But like I said, that's what the Incas did on top. It's like what God said. Well, I wouldn't mind having a wall built by what the Incas did, but it didn't even compare at all to what these other guys did. Pyramids of Giza. We don't know why they were built. Not sure really what all the chambers in them do, or if they've even all been found. We aren't sure what's beneath them. There are theories that say enormous faces are carved beside the pyramids and they're continually being covered by the sand. I have no idea how the enormous blocks were put into place, especially without mortar. The blocks were cut, carved, moved, and lifted miles away from the site. And the problem of weight in building comes into play again. Blocks this heavy would have crushed any sleds or tree trunk rollers that Egyptologists think moved them. No way you can move these with hundreds of horses and thousands of men. Ain't happening. Okay? And that doesn't even explain what the interiors were for. Why did they align with the stars in Orion's belt? How the interiors, they were lit to paint the thousands of hieroglyphics on the walls deep within the pyramid. Torches would have produced soot on the roofs and walls, which is not found in the tomb at all. And their reflected light on mirrors would have dissipated after only a few feet. Many structures built in ancient times have exact alignment to specific stars. How was this accomplished? The Great Pyramid is composed of over 2.5 million blocks of limestone, which weigh from 2 to 70 tons each. Its base covers 13 acres, and its volume is around 90,000 cubic feet. That whole thing used to be covered in limestone. And they say the capstone there was gold. There's a place called Puma Punka. It's a megalithic structure atop. It is a megalithic structure atop 13,000-foot plateau in Bolivia with massive blocks fitting together like Legos, again, without any mortar. The age is estimated conservatively at 2,000, but many people believe they're much older. The heaviest of these stones is 450 tons. What makes this even more amazing is that many of these blocks were cut from diorite, which is an insanely hard rock that was used in ancient times to cut other rocks. The grooves in the diorite are machine-made, some as small as a centimeter deep with only 1 millimeter variation, and these blocks are cut like this. Even today's engineers are daunted by this task, and how did they carve them up a 13,000-foot mountain? I told you about that symbol, swastika. Germans borrowed it. They just used it for their purposes.
Where's that at there?
That is in India. And when I was in Nepal, they were all over the place there, too. You see swastikas throughout even Native American stuff as well, too. But you'll see them there, and you see them all over the Hindu nation. But look at this picture. So we got, this is an ancient picture. There's some kind of flying craft, all right? See this beast standing up here? And look at this little man right beside him. Look at this man right beside him. And these creatures. That looks sort of like an astronaut, doesn't it? They said their technology was greater. Fallen angels probably didn't need it, but if they wanted their offspring to travel from one end to the other, they would have had to create something for them. So that creature there. That's a Mayan. So here's some more beings that aren't quite human. Here's a guy flying something. This would be in Persia. How does this apply to us today? I quoted it already. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. It's the Word of God. So how do we deal with that? What about aliens? What about UFOs? I took this picture yesterday. I took it in the Walmart. And so the search for life, alien life, who shaped our world? See the pyramids? Oh, by the way, people go down to South America, they go to the Yucatan, and they go up and they just enjoy sitting on top of these pyramids, walking up, looking at them. They were places for human sacrifice. Every one of them. They sacrificed humans. There's nothing that we should enjoy about that. We should be praying that God destroy them. Take them down. Swallow them up. Repent for what went on there. And many people go up on those things and they get cursed. Because listen, if God sends you somewhere, in one of these places, if the Lord sends you to, He sends you to a Buddhist temple to pray for those people, or He sends you to, that's one thing. But you need to know that you know that you know that you know it's Him. But if you're going in there just as a tourist, you are giving honor to those gods, and you are opening the door to your life, and it might not hit you till a year later, or 4 years later, or could destroy you quickly. We knew a young man that they went down to Mexico, and when he got down to Mexico, he had a seizure because they went up on that thing. And he likely had to go in the hospital down there. This was a sweet young man. Okay? Nice kid, young guy. And he came back, and we began to do deliverance on him, and it came to find out, well, I began to have him submit unto the Lord, and this young, real peaceful kid jumps up and tries to swing at me and punches a hole in the wall. I'm grabbing, began to repent for him, and I repented for him, bound the enemy, and called him back to himself, and I got him to repent. And then I said, now pray in tongues. And he prayed in tongues, and when he got through, I said, now submit, Lord. And he did, and we got him up. Well, it turned out what he'd been doing is playing Nazi video games. Okay? War games involving the Nazis. Well, it's the same spirit. So when he went down, it's a spirit of murder. It's a spirit that sacrifices human beings. So when he went down to Mexico and he climbs that pyramid, he ran into something that he'd been playing games with. Okay? Search for alien life. We've got a pyramid in Ohio called the Serpent Mound. That's as big as, it's bigger than the Giza pyramid. Okay? You got them everywhere. So we got mounds, you got mound culture. Everywhere you got a mound culture, you had giants. So you got a place called Cahokia outside of St. Louis. They had human sacrifice. I tell you, everywhere you had giants, you had human sacrifice. So there's a city just east of St. Louis called Cahokia that they began to dig in and find. In our little town called Poto, just down the road, there's a place called Spiro. So it's called the Spiro Mounds. You can go visit them. So one day I just looked it up. Spiro Giants, 1925, they pulled a 9.5-footer out of there. See, they're all over the place. Because these giants were everywhere all over the earth. Okay? So some of them pre-flood and some of them post-flood. So There's a place called Sardinia. It's got 35,000, many believe it was Atlantis, but it's got 35,000 burial sites that were with the giants. And the people there know about the giants. They've been digging them up, but the government tells them to shut up, and the Catholic Church tells them to shut up. Men in black suits show up, but the people will talk. They're everywhere. I'm going to go back here. Pope Francis, he talked about aliens. He said he would welcome Martians to receive baptism. He spent some time during a mass at the Vatican on Monday. I'm just reading what he said on Monday, talking about alien life forms, and suggested that Martians, should they ever visit Earth, would be welcome to get baptized as well. If, for example, this is his words, tomorrow an expedition of Martians came, and some of them came to us here, right? Green, long nose, big ears, just like the children. One said, but I want to be baptized. What would happen? The Roman Catholic Church leader theorized, as reported by Vatican Radio in his speech, focused on the question, who are we to close the door on the Holy Spirit? He said that baptism is open to everyone and reminded the audience of the words of Peter. This is a setup. It's a setup.
It is a satanic setup.
It's a satanic setup. He also said, and I don't have the quote, I couldn't find it, but I heard it before, and he said, they might have some more information that we don't have, and we'll have to change what we know of the gospel. Out of his mouth. They're preparing for what's coming. I'm going to show you what's coming. Is there a technologically and intellectually advanced sentient species elsewhere in the galaxy? Pope Francis believes so, and may soon announce not only his intention to prepare the human species, keep that in mind, all right, because he believes in evolution, for contact, but a denouncement that the transnational corporate capitalist system that is currently contaminating the planet with toxic consciousness. For the next major shift in human consciousness, he wants to position the Catholic Church and the Jesuit order to integrate the reality of alien existence as well as the evolution of the sixth faculty of human consciousness. This sixth faculty will constitute a new form of religion and a new form of contact between humans and advanced telepathic aliens. The largest order, the largest single religious denomination on earth, is now actively mobilizing for a people's disclosure of extraterrestrial existence that will usurp national governments. Now, I don't know if you can read those, but this was just I just did a search. World governments preparing for aliens. Stories all over the place. Different, like British newspapers, Australian newspaper, American newspaper, not the Wall Street Journal, I promise you. They'll tell you when it's expedient for them. They're already starting to soft disclose things as well, too. So there was an interview with some Air Force colonel that out of nowhere, he gets called up in the national news and he starts talking about what he saw out there. It's called disclosure. And when they do disclosure, everything changes. But I'm going to show you what the real source is and what's going on when they do. It says, world about to be told aliens exist and are here on Earth. Global governments are preparing the world for an imminent announcement that intelligent aliens exist and are already here on Earth. It is astonishingly been alleged. Earth must prepare for close encounter with aliens. Evolution on alien worlds is likely to be Darwinian, which may mean extraterrestrials share our tendencies for violence and exploitation. World governments should prepare a coordinated action plan in case Earth is contacted by aliens, according to scientists. Governments are hiding aliens, says the former defense minister. Governments are hiding aliens. This is Paul Hellyer's his name. He was a defense minister of Canada from 1963 to 1967. NASA openly admits alien life exists. Get ready for disclosure. Soon we will understand that alien life on other bodies in the world, in the universe. What we're going to understand is that our secret, if there is a secret our government has been hiding. WikiLeaks has already disclosed NASA's secret. Aliens are real. Keep in mind, they're not aliens. Well, maybe they are. They don't belong here. They're just not extraterrestrial from other planets. Okay? So, pictures, some of these out on the internet. Here's the deal. There was a day, you could say it was Crazy Uncle Joe, you know, this bizarre guy over here. I'm just going to ask a question. Has anybody here seen craft? Any aircraft? Anything? Strange. We saw, one time coming back from New Mexico, when we saw something near Roswell, of all places. And out of nowhere, in front of us, this big ball of light shows up.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.